Well, last year LSU football pulled something off, and honestly, I didn't expect them to do to the level that they did it. And they're going to be faced with that same challenge in this upcoming season. Can they do it for a second year in a row? I'll explain what I mean by that and so much more on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcast. You can also find us on YouTube as well, Locked On LSU. So like, comment, subscribe, all of that good stuff. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I'm now a sports talk radio host. You can find me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. Appreciate y'all for being here and making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. So LSU is going to be posed with the same challenge the second year in a row. And I want to explain what I mean by that. But first, I want to let y'all know that today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So one of my biggest doubts or concerns or questions for LSU football going into the 2022 season is how the heck are you going to make this defensive back room, specifically the cornerback room, work? I mean, last year, Brian Kelly, Robert Steeples, Matt House, the entire defensive coaching staff, Brian Kelly included, were forced to find all the pieces that they could possibly could to rebuild the cornerback room and really the defensive backs as a whole. But I'm going to focus in here just on the corners because they were essentially left with nothing, with so few pieces to build off of. So you went to the transfer portal and you found all of these pieces from across college football. So my biggest question was, how quickly is this room going to be able to gel, if at all? You know, you're coming from different backgrounds, different schools, different defensive schemes, and now you're coming together, and it's not just one new piece coming into one big room. It's no, like, all of these pieces are coming in from elsewhere, and now they're forced to kind of find that identity. That's not really easy to do, especially when week one, you're taking on Florida State, a really good team. Like, you didn't have much time to get acclimated, to figure out who you were going to be, to figure out, you know, on game day, you know, this works, this doesn't, so on and so forth. But they did it. And it the defensive back room and the cornerbacks, really a area of the team, of the defense specifically, but really overall of the team that I thought was going to be fairly weak, really didn't end up being the case at all. You know, the DBs were really pretty solid for LSU this season. And, you know, you look at a guy like Jay Ward, who's so versatile and who's able to fill in. Like, it really felt like this defensive back room with everything stacked against them of, okay, you have a few months to get yourself acclimated, learn this defensive system, and, oh, also learn each other. They did it. And they did a pretty damn good job of it. LSU had a very solid defense. So can they do it again is my next question. And I want to highlight, you know, over the next few weeks, as we are getting close to spring practice, as we get a few months away from the spring game, that's one of my biggest questions going into the spring. Can you do that again? Can you recreate the same success that you had last year with your transfer portal pieces with what you have to do this year? Because what LSU is in the same position that they were last year. The only corners that they return are Seven Banks, a transfer portal player last year from Ohio State who saw very minimal work and was sidelined with injury for majority of the season, and then LaTerrence Welch, who was a true freshman last year, and again, didn't see a whole lot of in-game work, really just, you know, filled in here and there, especially in games where LSU was up, you know, Southern games like that. So you are only bringing back your only core pieces, at least for the cornerbacks, are two players who barely saw the field, if at all. So now you are forced to try and recreate the same success that you had last year with, you know, a Denver Harris coming in from Texas A&M, a Deuce Chestnut coming in from Syracuse, Zy Alexander coming in from Southeastern. You got J.K. Johnson coming in from Ohio State. So again, LSU is collecting pieces from around the country to build up the cornerback position. Can they do it again? It's not easy to do in the first place. whenever you have to pick up pieces through the transfer portal and try and, you know, put it all together and make a little macaroni necklace of all of the little pasta pieces that you were able to find in your craft bin. So can they do it again? And I lean toward yes. Because last year, all respect to those players in the room, I think that that room was only going to be as good as your coaching staff. Because those players had talent, obviously. We saw that on the field this past year. And they were being recruited by this defensive staff that really, you know, they had a lot to prove in year one. So while I do want to give credit to all of those players and their talent and their abilities, that's they did that. They were able to make that work. They were able to come together as a cornerback room and really, you know, perform very well for LSU. I think that as long as Matt House is defensive coordinator, he's going to find ways to make it work. We've seen that with Matt House. We've seen that, you know, with not just the cornerback room, but also with, you know, with the defense as a whole, the creative ways that he used Harold Perkins in the past, just the creative defensive schemes that Matt House comes up with. As much credit as I want to give that defensive back room last year, they all deserve it. I would say my concern about the defensive backs this year is eased a bit knowing that there is continuity on the cornerback room, is knowing that the same coach that was able to make that work last year is going to be back making this room work this year. I don't know if that, let's say, pick another school in the SEC, pick another defensive coordinator in the SEC, would that cornerback room facing the same circumstances that LSU was this past year, and if all of those players went to that school with that defensive coordinator, would they have looked as good as this defensive back room did last year? And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think anyone knows the answer to that question. We're not going to know the answer to that question. It's a hypothetical. I have to think, maybe not. Honestly, maybe not. We've seen a whole lot of defensive coordinators do a whole lot less with a whole lot more. So I look at it and I say, look, Matt House, you did it once. Let's see you do it again. Because I attribute a lot of that defensive success, at least in the defensive back side of things, to Matt House. But with that being said, there is one aspect of this that still worries me. Although it's continuity at the defensive coordinator position, there's not continuity on another part of the defense. And I want to get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about FanDuel Sportsbook app. So we're at the midway point of the NBA season, and now it is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It is safe, it is secure, and it is super easy to use. So then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and to threes drained. You can do whatever you want on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I love to bet on player props, especially when we're getting to this point in the season where every single game matters, every single win matters. And you don't know who's going to be able to pull out the win. If you don't want to bet on the money line or on a point spread, we can go to player props. Points, rebounds, assists, etc. Those are all available, and you can even combine them in a same-game parlay for a chance at a bigger payout with your bets. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So LSU is faced with the same challenge. I don't want to use the word issue because it's not an issue. It's a challenge. That was a challenge that passed last year. And that is, how can we build up this cornerback room completely, nearly completed with transfer portal players? And it was those players, it was their abilities, and it was Matt House's creativity and defensive mind that was able to make all of those pieces work. It was the leadership on the team, both at the coaching level and down on the roster as well, the leaders of that team. They were able to pull everything together in what seemed like an island of misfit toys, and then ultimately winning the SEC West. That takes a whole lot of leadership on the field, off the field, in the locker room, so on and so forth. So as long as Matt House is part of your team, I would feel pretty good about the defense. With that being said, You have continuity at coordinator. And I think that that is so important. It's one reason why, and that's something that I've stated on the podcast before, and you can find that on YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, why I think that LSU has a slight advantage over Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama going into this season, because LSU is the only one of those teams. And those are kind of the top four consensus around the talking heads around college football. Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, LSU going into this season, like top four SEC teams. And LSU has an advantage over those because LSU is the only one of those quote unquote top four preseason that is returning a quarterback and returning an offensive coordinator. And then you look at Alabama, they're forced to fill in both of those roles plus your defensive coordinator. So T's and P's, thoughts and prayers to Alabama. So the continuity of the coordinator position, I think, is so important. But I think there is a lot of truth to the cornerback room being gifted time to learn itself, to get acclimated, because the defensive line was so dominant. Because up front, they did a whole lot of the work. And so when you do what you need to do up front, when you can get to the quarterback, well, then the defensive back's jobs are a whole lot easier. And I'm not saying their job is easy to begin with, but you take care of business up front, and then the guys in the back, they don't have to carry the load. You don't have the gift of continuity on the defensive line that you had last year. I think we all felt really good about this D-line with Jaquel and Roy and Allie Gay and, of course, this you don't have that. Jaquel and Roy and Allie Gay and B.J. Ojolari are heading to the NFL draft. One piece that you do have is Mason Smith, and I want to get into that next segment of Mason Smith. But you don't have those three core pieces on the defensive line that you had last year. Defensive leaders, guys who really got things moving, guys who really, I think, carried the defense, at least in the beginning of the season, carried the defense, at least in an emotional capacity of being leaders, of setting expectations, because coaches can only do so much. You also have to establish things in the locker room as well. So you don't have Jaquel and Roy, Allie Gay, and B.J. Ojolari. You're retooling the defensive line. Of course, you're getting Mason Smith back. Again, I'll get to that next. But you're also retooling the defensive line with a lot of pieces in the transfer portal as well. You've got Omar Spates coming in from Oregon State, who was a four-year starter at Oregon State. You have Jalen Lee from Florida, Braden Swinson from Oregon. You've got Paris Shand coming in from Arizona. You've got Jordan Jefferson, not the one that you're thinking of. You've got Jordan Jefferson coming in from West Virginia. So you've got a lot of pieces that you are building up the defensive line with via the transfer portal, and that's not what you had last year. So the defensive back room was afforded some of these privileges of, you know, letting the defensive line do a lot of the heavy lifting. So now, not just in the defensive back room with the cornerbacks, now you also are adding the defensive line to be an area that needs to learn itself, that needs to learn each other. And that's one area that I'm a little bit worried about. Is it's this year, it's not just the corners, it's the defense basically as a whole. You've got new pieces at linebacker coming in, Oviagufo. Of course, you have the continuity of Harold Perkins. I almost said Harold Landry. I've got the Titans on the brain. Harold Perkins coming back, and you can only assume that he'll probably take a step forward in his second year. That's also making an assumption, but I feel like that's a fair assumption, an assumption that I'd like to lay back on because it would make me feel a whole lot better going into this year, assuming that he will take a step forward. But those are all very key things to consider. Is it's not just the corners this year. It's also the defensive line. It's a lot of seniority, a lot of continuity, and a lot of experience on the defensive line last year. Now, you still have seniority and experience on the defensive line this year. Like I mentioned, Omar Spates was a four-year starter at Oregon State. He was a captain at Oregon State. Jalen Lee, Braden Swinson, Paris Shand, they all have college football experience. Jalen Lee, most notably, he has Florida college experience. So he has competed in the SEC. He understands the SEC. He gets it. So that's at least you have seniority and you have experience. But what you don't have is LSU experience. What you don't have is guys with experience with one another. I know the offensive and defensive lines are different. I totally understand that. But those are two units that are exactly that. They're units. It's not individual players. And we saw how important it is for a unit, an offensive line this past year, to have experience working together. That was a lot of the offense's bugaboo at the beginning of the season. Of course, the quarterback getting acclimated with the receivers. Of course, Jaden Daniels, you know, learning when to just go through his progressions and not just jet off with his legs. I think part of that was the offensive line, too. No, it wasn't until what week of the season that you had finally had week over week the same offensive line lineup. When you don't have time to really learn each other and to really come together as one cohesive unit, we have seen that it can be detrimental. Can this defensive line get acclimated soon enough? So week one, you're ready to go. So week one against Florida State, against a team that is projected to be a very solid team, a top 10 team preseason, at least where it stands right now, is the defensive line going to be as big of a force as it was last year? To help this defense, to help the defensive backs, to help the corners, to help the guys in the backfield so they can get to the quarterback. And that's what I don't know. And that's something that I'm going to be looking for in spring practice is how does this defensive line look as a unit? Can you establish your starting guys with their hands in the dirt? Can you establish your starting defensive line so they have time to become cohesive? Do you have time to make sure to highlight your starting defensive backs and so they learn the defensive scheme? That's what I'm looking for, is how quickly can they come together within the offseason, considering there's a whole lot of pieces coming in from a whole lot of different places, and considering what I think to be a bigger challenge in year two than it was in year one. I mentioned I wanted to get into Mason Smith coming up next, and that's exactly what I want to do coming up next. So the defensive line is going to be one area that I'm not necessarily concerned about, but one area that I will absolutely be focusing on moving forward. And one area of that is Mason Smith, because I keep forgetting that it's almost like, do you ever get paid for something in your Venmo and totally forget about it? And then you look at your Venmo and you're like, oh my gosh, free money. That's how I feel about Mason Smith. That same kind of feeling of, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so down and out about not having a whole lot of, you know, LSU guys, LSU returners on this defensive line. And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes, duh, Mason Smith. So sorry to forget about you, Mason Smith, because that's going to be a huge get for LSU in 2023. The fact that he is coming back. It was devastating to this defensive line this past year to lose him in week one. When Mason Smith went down, I thought, oh my God, oh great, here we go. Like, here's the LSU luck, unluck rather, hard at work. And then Mekhi Wingo comes in. We see that Mekhi Wingo has blossomed into a great player, a great leader on this team. So I don't want to say it was a good thing that happened, but it was a good thing that they were able to adjust to the adversity of losing Mason Smith and really be a solid unit, even with him absent throughout the year. But my question is, how healthy and how 100% is Mason Smith really going to be? I view an ACL tear to be like a 1 year recovery period. That, like, let's say if you tear your ACL, like when Mason Smith tore his ACL week one, early September, then you can expect him to be back and ready to go in game form early September. And I do think that Mason Smith is going to be out there, maybe not in spring practice, probably not in spring practice, but over the summer. So that's the good thing, is the teeniest, tiniest silver lining of tearing your ACL that early is that you get back that early the next season. But I have seen a lot of times in the NFL that even though you can come back, even though you're medically cleared, you feel good, you're ready to get back out there, you don't always look like the same player you were before you tore your ACL. I've mentioned it so many times before. I do sports talk radio in Nashville. I cover the Titans very closely. The Titans have had two players that have torn their ACLs the year before the Titans have acquired them. Bud Dupree being one of them, and Robert Woods, a wide receiver, being the other. Now, Bud Dupree tore his ACL when he was with the Steelers. The Titans traded for Bud Dupree and brought him in. Now in 2021, he was healthy enough to get back out on the field, but he mentioned to the media when he was being asked questions about why he was on and off the field, why he was hurt, why he was on the injury report so many times throughout the season. He was like, look, I think I just came back from my ACL just a little bit too soon. And Robert Woods the same way. Robert Woods was acquired by the Titans this past year. He came from the Rams. Robert Woods tore his ACL in October of the 2021 season. So he comes back. He's good to go for week one. And he came back and said, you know, I think that I just wasn't 100% fully recovered from the ACL. And you could tell from his stats. You could tell there was an obvious drop-off of Robert Woods from before he tore his ACL until now. And he just never really looked like the Robert Woods that the Titans had traded for. And that's because even though, and I believe, just based off of what I've seen with the Titans and what I've seen with injuries like that in the past, you can be medically cleared and good to go and feel good and be ready and your surgery went well and, you know, all thumbs up. There's no guarantee that you are going to be as strong as you were in that leg, in that knee, as you were before. There is no guarantee that even though the surgery went well and everything feels good and the doctor says, okay, you know, green light, you're good to go, there is no guarantee that there's not going to be a little bit of a mental aspect there of, you know, a little bit of a flashback of when you tore your ACL, a little bit of a mental aspect of not putting all of your weight or all of your force on that knee. And that's totally normal. You know, that's human nature. That's human instinct. But I think that's something that we have to keep in mind with Mason Smith is even though I fully expect Mason Smith to be back for week one, I fully expect Mason Smith to be getting out there on the field, practicing, moving that knee around probably in the next few months. That's an unfortunate truth and an unfortunate reality that LSU is facing with Mason Smith. He may come out there and look even better than he looked before he tore his ACL. I'm not saying that that's a guarantee. I'm just saying that's something that unfortunately I'm keeping in mind. But I think the good thing is too, LSU picked up enough pieces on the defensive line via the transfer portal that there's enough support on the defensive line, enough veteran support, enough support with experience that they can fill in. LSU has recruited. Talking about the NFL, got the NFL on the brain, has recruited several defensive linemen, one of which can step in, per John Garcia Jr., can step in and contribute to this team right away. That was one of my biggest questions about this 2023 class. I asked John Garcia Jr. who is ready to start right away. He said Sean Womack is going to be one of those that is ready to start right away. And that's a piece that can probably fill in and use some experience in the defensive line. So it's not, you know, it's not totally sunk at the defensive line position. It's just something that I think we all need to keep in mind and consider when it comes to Mason Smith. But that is going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. So for your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, coaches, players, and so much more throughout the basketball landscape. So Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.